This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My name is Wade Smith. I'm here with Cecil Shorts. We're filling in for those guys that got a few days off. And we're talking Rockets and their trade. And so we have on the Sports Radio 610 hotline right now, Brian Geltzeiler, HoopsCredit.com host and of Sirius XM NBA Radio. Brian, what was your initial reaction when you got the news of the trade of Clint Capella?
Well, first of all, Wade, Cecil, how we doing today? We good, guys?
Oh, we're doing awesome,
we good.
All right, good to hear. Well, I think I'm a big Clint Capella fan. I look at the deal, and you certainly can make a basketball case for why it was a deal that the Rockets wanted to make. I don't necessarily agree with it. I think that the Rockets have put themselves in a tough spot. When you look at who they're going to have to go through to advance in the playoffs, you're going to have to figure out a way to guard Anthony Davis somewhat effectively. You're going to have to figure out a way to guard Nikola Jokic somewhat effectively. And, of course, you can't forget about Rudy Gobert in Utah. Capella was the guy that could do that for you. Capella is, to me, the single best big in the league at switching onto guys on the perimeter. He has some excellent defensive skills, and let's face it, as a pick-and-roll diver and a guy that you can throw lobs to offensively, he was useful on that end of the floor also. I understand what the Rockets are after here and wanting to play more small ball. And I do think that Jordan Bell could be, you know, an unheralded, interesting piece of this deal because he gives you something in terms of just a defensive presence at five if you can get him to work out and you think that that's a spot for him. He's got some playoff experience, and he certainly has had flashes there if you can catch lightning in a bottle there. But nonetheless, I look at this trade and feel like it's, you know, for the Rockets, again, they'll make a basketball case for it. And Covington's a guy that gives you a LeBron defender. He gives you a Kawhi defender, even though he's only shooting 34.6% from three this year, and the Rockets love to throw up those threes, but he'll help you there defensively. I don't know that I like it at the expense of Clint Capella, and I do think that we have to understand that there were some cost savings involved as well. And listen, you get an idea in the next 30 hours or so how much cost savings played a role in this, because if the Rockets don't do anything with the extra $12 million that they were able to get under the salary cap with this deal, I think you kind of look at things and wonder, you know, this is maybe more about cost than it is about basketball.
Brian, the more I think about it, how much better are the Rockets today than yesterday? I'm not sold on it. The more I think about it, we've been talking about it all morning. The more I hear about it, I'm not sold that they're that much better with Robert Covington and Jordan Bell and possibly somebody else, because, you know, Daryl Morey is probably not done yet, than having Clint Capella here. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, Cecil, in the moment, I think they're worse. But if they do something and they bring somebody in to fill for Clint Capella who can, you know, play an interesting role, and I do, you know, Daryl Morey has proved to us time and time again that he pulls rabbits out of his hat all the time.
Yeah.
So they're not, you know, we can't assume them to be dumb, but all we can do is go with what we know at this moment. And what we do know at this moment is that this is probably not a stronger basketball team. Listen, they are 15th in the league in defensive efficiency right now. They've certainly trended up recently there. Capella's a part of that. He's probably their best defensive player. And as much as I love P.J. Tucker, I think in the way the game's being played today, he is your perfect stretch four. He's only 6'5". He's an excellent corner three shooter. And he scraps and he fights and he plays bigger than he is and he guards bigger guys. And you can ask him to do that at the four and guard the perimeter at times. And for playing small stretches against some of these really big guys, you certainly can do that. But to ask him to do it full-time, that's a rough ask. That's going to be very, very tough on him. And you know, listen, Covington's gonna, you know, be a guy that's essentially gonna play that stretch four spot next to Tucker to keep Gordon on the floor. They still, the problem with this is they did this to get bigger on the perimeter, and Covington, it's like putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound. They're not gonna be big enough on the perimeter even with Covington. So it's kind of like, to get where they wanted to get with this trade, they were gonna have to fundamentally change how they were built. This is a small step in that direction, but in terms of what you have to get through in a Western Conference in a playoffs, this year. It's not easy. And you know, listen, for where the Rockets are right now, it's, you know, you got to be careful you don't end up finishing the season at 5 or 6 and having to play in the first round on the road. I mean, they're at 5 right now behind Utah. And listen, it's going to be tough to get to the NBA Finals in the Western Conference. It's going to be a whole lot tougher if you have to do it all on the road. And I'll say this about the Rockets, because of how they shoot threes, because of the volume of threes that they shoot, they're capable of beating anyone. But if you're going to have to come out at a 5 seed to be able to try to go to the finals, there's no way you're capable of beating everyone.
Brian, earlier this week, it was rumored that the Rockets were trying to get Kevon Looney to be part of this trade. You mentioned earlier that there's $12 million that are still available, that a spot could be filled there. Is Kevon Looney a guy that's still in play, or was that ever a reality for the Rockets?
I mean, listen, I think if the problem with the Rockets in getting Kevon Looney is that the Warriors are not going to give him away. They see a lot of value in Kevon Looney because he's quite frankly part of the culture there. Now, all right, culture is probably an overused word for a team that is 12-39, but when they get Stephen Clay back, it's, you know, this is going to be a very different situation very quickly. So I think that the problem for the Rockets is they just don't have a lot to be able to go get guys with right now. They're really bereft of assets. And you know, they threw another first-round pick in here. They've thrown a lot of first-round picks out in the name of trying to get this team to win an NBA title. And that's fine, but when you look at the large majority of teams in recent years that have won NBA titles, the one common element has been the luxury tax. Owners willing to pay above what the salary cap says to put, you know, ultra-competitive teams on the field, on the court that are competing for NBA championships. The Rockets are going the other way. The Rockets are shaving money off. So it doesn't all add up and make a lot of sense when you do that and you look at who they're going to have to compete with. You know, listen, we have, you know, in the next, again, 30 hours, the Lakers may very well do something. The Clippers may very well do something.
Yeah.
Okay? One thing I can tell you about those two teams, and you're going to have to go through at least one of them, if not both of them, neither of those ownership groups are going to worry about taking money off. They're fine adding money. They're fine going into the tax. They're fine going deep into the tax if they can pull something off, and that's what it requires. So I think you kind of have to look at the big picture here with the Rockets. They want you to look at it from one angle, but there's another angle in terms of financial savings that is not a great angle to be looking at. You know, it's not a great angle for the Rockets right now, and it doesn't speak all that well to their ability to get through the West and be able to go to an NBA final.
You know, the stigma with James Harden is that in big games in the playoffs, he doesn't come through like a LeBron, like a Kobe used to do, or Kevin Durant, whatever the case may be. With the roster they have now, does this put more pressure on James Harden to come through in the playoffs? And with what you just told us, I'm not sure if he's equipped as much as he would have.
There's a lot. Listen, I think there's a lot of pressure on James Harden in the first place. I think having Westbrook come aboard actually took a little bit of less pressure off him because it's not on his shoulders the whole time. And they've made some changes to accommodate Westbrook that have been good changes. Listen, they've played very fast this year. They were one of the slower teams in the league the last couple of years. They have upped their tempo to be able to, because if you're going to have Russell Westbrook on your team, it doesn't make sense to do that and not play fast. So they've done that in the name of maybe playing a little bit less isolation. But nonetheless, when it comes time to make big shots in big spots in the playoffs, we know who's that's going to fall on. James Harden. That was going to exist whether Capella was there or Capella was not there. What's interesting about this is they want to make this trade. They're willing to acknowledge the fact that they weaken themselves defensively. They want to make this trade about, we think we're going to be so much better offensively, and it's going to benefit Westbrook to have more driving lanes. And listen, I get all that. But by the same token, when you look at Capella's offensive strengths, he's a very good screen setter. You can always throw lobs to him. He's an excellent pick-and-roll diver. And he hangs in that dunker spot and kind of stays out of the way. Like, I think there's a lot of smoke screen going on to cover for what really has been a move towards cost savings that they can put a basketball spin on. I really believe that, guys.
We're speaking with Brian Geltzeiler, HoopsCritic.com host on SiriusXM NBA Radio. And you just mentioned Clint Capella and his offensive strengths. But what would you say about Capella's progression as a player over the past few years offensively in his game? Because to me, he struggled with making the leap, the strides that I think he needed to be to make to, in order to still be remaining on the roster and help the team get over to that next level.
I see. See, I actually think I like him a lot at 25 years old. I think the thing about a guy like Clint Capela is you have to realize he is what he is. He's never going to be a guy that shoots the ball well from the perimeter. That's not who he is. His game is around the basket. And I think when you look at his value, if he can be, he doesn't have to be a stud offensive player, because again, I think that's asking more of him than really what he's capable of. I mean, you look at him offensively, do we need him to do any more than shoot 63% from the field? Because that's what he does. And you know, a guy that's got averaging 14 points and 14 rebounds at almost two blocks a game, you look at that value, I think there's a lot of value there for him. I really do. I think for the Rockets here, and the other thing is this, the contract's not bad for what he brings. Guy's 14-14, and he's making $17 million a year. It's not a terrible contract. But I think for the Rockets, ultimately, they built this thing around two stars. It's really hard to be able to stay under the tax and field a competitive team when you have two guys that are making an excess $80 million combined, and you got another guy that's making 17, which pushes you over $100 million for three players, and how you round out the rest of a roster. And I don't think this is about Clint Capela and who he was offensively. I know he averaged 16 last year, but again, you have to look at the fact that he's taken one less shot a game. He took 11 shots a game last year. He's taking 10 shots a game this year. The opportunities aren't there as much. And yes, his free throw shooting should be a lot better than it is. It's at its worst number since 2015, 2016. So I get there is some stuff that is kind of flatlined with him here. But I guess my point that I'm making is that he is what he is. And what he is pretty darn good for this team. So I look at the role that he plays, and I think it's a very, very tough role to look to fill someone else in on. And I think the Rockets are going to have a hard time doing that. Certainly have a hard time doing it in the next 28 or so hours.
Overall, how do you think he's going to do in Atlanta matched with Trae Young for one? And then also, who would you say overall won this trade between the four teams involved?
I think that Atlanta and Minnesota both did very well in this trade. Minnesota didn't do as well as they wanted to, but ultimately getting that first round pick for Covington, I think was what they had to do. And first round picks are not being thrown around all that liberally here coming into the trade deadline. And I think for Atlanta, they got a 25-year-old player that's going to make their team better going forward than they can pair with Trae Young. You know, they had trouble at the center position. Alex Len wasn't getting him done. He's in the last year of a deal anyway. And Lloyd Pierce felt compelled to have to use John Collins there a lot. And that's John Collins playing out of position. And I think for John Collins, there's a significant difference in what he's going to do for you defensively when you have him at the four than when you have him at the five. And ultimately, you got to remember one thing about the Atlanta Hawks and Trae Young. Guys, I don't want to be mean about it when I refer to Trae Young, but I'm not sure I'd let this dude guard my spot at the bank, let alone let him defend some of the point guards in the NBA. All right? He is a poor, poor defensive player. And so when you look at that and say, okay, how am I going to cover for a poor defensive player? Getting one of the better bigs in the league defensively on the back line helps you cover for that. And Collins was a good defensive player. He wasn't capable of that. So I think Atlanta won this deal. I really do. I like what Atlanta did. Listen, for Atlanta, ultimately, it was going to come down to Capela or Drummond. And I think in the end, Capela makes $10 million less and brings a skill set, maybe not the rebounder that Drummond is, but he's close, and he brings a skill set that's similar at a much better price. And I will also tell you guys this. There are four or five teams right now in the Eastern Conference that have made an enormous exhale that the Boston Celtics didn't find a way to get involved here and get Clint Capela. Because if the Celtics were able to add Clint Capela and not have to sacrifice Hayward, Tatum, Brown, Walker, or Smart, they were going to be the odds on favorite in the Eastern Conference to go to the finals.
Wow. Looking at Minnesota, they got that first round pick, and I know Minnesota's heavy on getting D'Angelo Russell to town. Now, the Warriors have been the arch nemesis for the Rockets for a while. Is this a way for Minnesota to use that first round pick and flip it maybe this offseason closer to the draft and get D'Angelo Russell?
The Warriors are not taking this first-round pick for D'Angelo Russell. Okay. Because ultimately, for the money to work, Minnesota's going to have to send Wiggins there. And here's the thing with Wiggins. The Warriors are not adverse to bringing Andrew Wiggins into their program. Andrew Wiggins, forget about the money for a minute. In terms of as a basketball player with no pressure on him, he'll be better than Barnes, but not as good as Durant. And for that team, that's fine. But ultimately, Wiggins' contract is considered a liability around the league. So if you want us to send you Russell and you're going to send us Wiggins, you got to give us something more than just a lottery-protected first-round pick that the Nets have. So ultimately, Minnesota's going to have to give their pick for this year unprotected if they want to get D'Angelo Russell and package it with Wiggins. I can understand right now why they said no. I think that's a deal that's going to liven up as we come into draft week, and Minnesota has a little bit of a better vision of, A, where that draft spot is, and, B, who they're going to get with it. I think right now the unknown of trading the unprotected pick becomes an issue for them, because if it ends up being the number one pick, you never wanted to trade it in the first place. If you end up sitting there at 6 or 7, you look at it a little bit differently. So I do think that that's what it comes down to. But I will tell you, I think that that's going to happen. I think that assuming Minnesota doesn't hit top two, top three in the lottery come May, I think when we look at draft week, you could very well see Andrew Wiggins and the pick Minnesota has in the first round going to Minnesota for D'Angelo Russell. Because keep one other thing in mind about D'Angelo Russell. Just like the Clippers, when they turned around and traded 5 firsts for Paul George, understood we're trading 5 firsts to bring in not only Paul George, but to lock up Kawhi Leonard. Minnesota's going to look at trading that lottery pick with Wiggins as something that keeps Karl Anthony Towns happy and in town. And that's enormous for them if they're going to have any kind of immediate future.
Brian, awesome insight, man. I appreciate you giving us a little bit of your time to school us on what's going on with these Rockets and this trade, man. You can catch him on SiriusXM NBA Radio, hoopscritic.com. Appreciate you, Brian, and hopefully we hear from you soon in the very near future, man.
Guys, I look forward to it. It's been a pleasure visiting with you both, and we'll do it again soon.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.